Welcome to today's episode of Loveness or Sexopedia, where your host Sarah is here to bring you valuable insights and expert advice in all things sex and relationships. In today's episode, we're joined by Yella Creamer, a seasoned tantra practitioner and mindful sexuality expert with a deeper understanding of love, intimacy, and sexual exploration. Well, with years of experience traveling the world and attending over 100 sex workshops, Yella has gained a wealth of knowledge in tantra, slow sex, and much more. In this conversation, we will delve into the world of slow sex, exploring how taking your time in intimacy can lead to deeper connections, healing, and a richer experience of pleasure. So sit back, relax, and get ready for an enlightening discussion with Yella. Welcome, Yella, and thank you so much for being here today.
Would you mind, do a little self-introduction to our audience about what you're focusing on and, you know, your theories about sexuality?
Yes, love to. I'm Yella Creamer. I'm based in Germany, and I'm originally from Germany, so English is my second language. I will make some mistakes, though I love speaking English. And I got to work with sexuality through tantric massages. So that's a form of body work based on tantric ideas. And it was a very surprise contact for me, and it instantly stuck. So I learned about tantric massages while I received one. And then I decided to make this into my profession. I worked in IT at that time and founded a tantric massage center. And from there developed to teach more about sexuality in general, because while I was working with tantra, I figured that basically it's sexuality that interests me in a variety of possibilities. And with working professionally with tantric massages, I saw so many different people, how their personal sexual life could be fulfilled, what I could add with a tantric massage, but what I could add with talking to them and giving permission for them to really seek out the most fulfillment they can. And I'm doing this since more than 20 years by now. So it developed over the years. And from personally massaging people, having a center where I had a team, I developed to writing and workshops and teaching about it. So it's been a journey for me, and it's all along sexuality.
Yeah, that sounds fantastic. And I did a bit of stalking, I'm so sorry, before this podcast about your journey of sexuality and also tantric massage. I'm quite curious about this whole tantra thing, because for me, or most audience, probably they only know the concept of tantra, but how would you incorporate this idea into sexuality and, you know, the massage and helping people develop their intimacy?
Mm-hmm. Well, tantra, it's a huge theory, and what we took from it in the Western world is basically the aspects of a different view on sexuality. Because when we come from a Christian background, sexuality is kind of the nether regions, and we actually shouldn't care too much about it. And it's for procreation, but it's not really something where you gain enjoyment, fulfillment, power from. And tantric views do the opposite. So they see it as a path to enlightenment. And while you're on this path, which I don't know who will reach it, I personally didn't yet, it is a power source, and it's a source of body, mind, and heart nourishment. And it's not just a physical joy, but more something where I can grow as a person, as a spiritual being, and of course as a lover. Tantric massage, which is a very, very new, you could say, it's not originally tantric, but it's based by tantric teachers to make it accessible for people who basically want a taste of tantra. And it's a whole body massage, which is really about the whole body, because usually if you look for wellness massages, you stay dressed with your genitals. Females usually cover their breasts. And the idea of tantric massages is really to not only give attention and love to the whole body, but to welcome whatever arises from that. And interestingly enough, that can be a deep relaxation. A lot of people think when they see nakedness, this is about sex first. But for most people, before it's about sex, it's about really allowing to arrive in your body and feel welcomed. And just to acknowledge, hey, it's always a whole body. there's no special parts. There's no like, okay, this is a good part and that's a bit like dirty part. But it's more like, okay, we are like physical beings and our mind wants that our physical being is really acknowledged and welcomed. And once that has happened, our heart opens. And from there, in tantric massages, usually there's a deep relaxation. And if then there's a part of sexual enjoyment, and if you really like dive into it and feel like, okay, what's coming up and impulses, that's all welcome in a tantric massage. And you have a safe space where a man or a woman will kind of accompany you in this journey. And it's a lot about self-exploration, that you really experience yourself with all these senses you have. And they're wonderful. So I recommend that for people to really start to see what's possible for them. That's really,
yeah.
Usually most people acknowledge at that point, like, wow, my body is really like a miracle piece. And I have like accessed so much of it till now. And there's so much more to expand to.
Yeah, that sounds like so interesting. And I love the idea about, you know, helping people explore this variety and probably something that they even didn't know before. As I've been reading some blogs that you've written and your books, I felt like you always say, like, you want to treat sexual energy as a basic force of life. And also, as you just said, like, there is actually a connection between us as a physical being and our mind. Well, I'm just quite curious about this theory, like, how, like, sexual energy would work as a fundamental force of life. And also, how do we build this mind and body connection?
Mm-hmm. Well, basically, they're all connected. I would like to add the heart and the soul to this, because Tantra, of course, is spiritual. I need to really dive into it to really access a lot of benefits from it. But for me to access this as something holistic helps to understand why this is something to give us so much energy. So if I like assume that we are this holistic being, then the idea is that sexual energy is something we're built from. I mean, we all derive from sex. Like, if our parents wouldn't have had sex, we wouldn't be here. So it's really a root energy, and we can connect to it. So it's already inside of us. We don't need to add something from the outside, even not a lover and toy, and not like a thing we do, but it's already inside of us. But we lose during our upbringing and, like, based on our culture we live in, often the connection. And once we get the tools, and Tantra teaches a lot about them, like the tools how to access this. And we need to open our mind to allow that this is a possibility. Because if we think it's only a physical thing, then our mind, like, will block us off in wide parts. And once we really acknowledge, like, okay, we're allowed to have pleasure, we already have all what we need inside of us, and we can enhance it greatly if we add a lover to it, but we don't need to, like, have the external stimulus, but more like the connection to the inside. And that's interesting enough, often stillness, to really, like, take time and sink in and not add and get even busier than we are already.
Yeah, it is. And I noticed that you've been mentioning slow sex a lot. Is slow sex somehow connected with Tantra?
It is. And it allows basically the principles of Tantra to be accessible through a practice. And you don't need to become very tantric. You can, and it can be a deep, like, spiritual experience. But I see slow sex more as a way for couples to connect in busy times and times when they're really, like, in danger of losing that sexual connection. And it's a flavor of sex which is greatly connecting and nourishing the intimacy of relationships.
Well, how would you, like, introduce the concept of slow sex to people who may not be familiar with it? And what would be your, like, starting point for the conversation?
Yeah. Well, the slow sex in one sentence, it's really do less and feel more. And that sounds a bit counterintuitive, but it's exactly the thing that we are often too busy in sex to really feel what's going on. And the second big principle is to really stay in the present moment. And one of the consequences of that is that we let go of goals, of something to reach, even if it may be such a beautiful thing as an orgasm. And this slow is used as a tool. So it's not the ultimate goal to become as slow as possible, but it's more to slow down. And you can take it a little bit like people do in sports, like that everything is in slow motion to see exactly what's going on. And in sport, we consider it very normal that we do that. And in sex, we kind of forget often that like staying what you actually do and really perceiving it fully will enhance the experience again. And it's a bit of learning and unlearning. So this unlearning of always being very fast and always really looking for like, okay, we're going to reach this goal, and then you lose the path to it. And the second thing was slow sex. And I'm giving long answers, I noticed that. I hope I don't interrupt you too much.
No, it's okay. You know, sometimes this avatar, I don't know, it does the eye thing, but I'm not moving, so I'm sorry.
Yeah, okay. Well, the second thing about slow sex is to acknowledge that we need, like with food, we need different kinds of sex to fulfill different wishes and needs. So with food, we know that sometimes it's sweet, it's salty, and we feel like different things, and that's very healthy. And in sex, we often try to find the one best way. And I suggest that we do it like food. So we have like the adventurous hot sex where we aim for orgasms, where we try to make it very hot. And then you have slow sex for very different needs and wishes. That's more like relaxing and connecting and being really close and nourishing our relationship. And that's like a beautiful thing, I think. But at the same time, slow sex had a lot of advantages that if we don't go for making it hot and steamy, we can relax. And we don't need to be like bright, awake, and like put a lot of energy into it, but we can take energy from it because we can relax, we come together, we connect, we use our bodies like as vessels, which will have their own impulses and allow them to become close without trying to put the fire really high. And that's especially for people with small kids or for people in stressful situations, like in a possibility to have sex, because often the other sex really falls away if there's a lot of stress and people don't find an access point where they can start.
Yeah, and it sounds like tantra sex and slow sex, they have this kind of foundation. They require a certain amount of foundation. For example, if in a more goal-oriented sexual sessions, like say one night stand or, you know, just like having sex for like the gratification, well, it's I don't think it's gonna, you know, make tantra sex or slow sex happen. So I'm just quite curious about what are the foundations of this relationship that slow sex and tantra sex requires?
Basically, it's you need to be willing to see sex as something which is about the whole person you are. Mm-hmm. And as it is, basically, once you acknowledge that and you want to see the whole person in your lover, there will be emotions, there will be ups, there will be downs. Sometimes, interesting thing, when you have really deeply touching sex, sadness will come up. And you might not know why, but if you give space for that, it's a beautiful thing, but it can feel very close when you allow yourself to be seen or when you actually get the privilege of seeing your partner very like fragile, very like vulnerable. These things can happen. And it's the same, like sometimes you might like really go to a deep ecstasy, which is making you feel very vulnerable. And once you integrate that, you can have a lot more closeness. And when you talk about like one night stands, people usually want the excitement, the adventure, the intensity, but they don't want to be very vulnerable. Because that's like they don't have the relationship where it's trust established, where you actually see a long-term perspective. And that's why often people then go for the fast, hot sex to have this experience, which is like absolutely fine. But if you build a relationship with trust and with like the ability to really see like, wow, we want to connect deeper and deeper and our bodies want to open, and you only will open your body, and that includes like to pleasure and to feelings and to loving connection once you have a certain level of trust.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, And for those who are accustomed with like faster sexual experiences or more goal-oriented sex, what do you think is the most important adjustment they need to make them like, if they want to make when like transitioning to slow sex?
Well, the fastest way is really, again, to use slowness as a tool. And I mean, the fastest way to use it, it sounds like a bit contradictory, but basically you come to the moment, you breathe, and then you put skin to skin and you still breathe. And you don't do something instantly, but you first arrive in this moment. And breath is a wonderful tool to come back to the moment again and again, and to really get into this, oh, what is now? Like, you sink inside yourself. You actually use all your senses, because we all have them. But if we're doing a lot during fast sex, during hot sex, we can't use them all, because like already the next thing happens already, like something is pushing. And the other thing is to allow to really get into connection with my partner and lover for the situation. And that, again, doesn't need to be a long term. You can meet somebody freshly and you can instantly decide. And it's good if you decide, both of you, like, okay, we're going to take this slower than we possibly have done at other times. And some people, like, if they're really well founded in slow sex, they obviously can bring it to a new person. But if both people decide, like, okay, we're really going to slow this down, stay in the moment, from there we can go. And there's a certain wisdom within our bodies. So if we take our mind less serious, but trust our body, and that needs that we listen to the body. And we all have these impulses. They're absolutely natural, but often we overhear them because our mind is louder. So if we like quiet our mind a little bit, turn the volume down and turn the volume up for the wisdom of the body.
I'm curious about what exactly are the signs, like what exactly are the signs that our body would send?
It's all about pleasure. It's really like, follow the pleasure in your body. And if you put skin to skin and allow that to really feel that, it's usually super, super pleasurable. And you go from there, where the pleasure already is, you follow that. Instead of trying to create pleasure was like doing something which you have like found in your mind as a good idea, you follow the body. And if you find a piece of pleasure, you just stay there and you fully, fully take it in. And use possibly like another sense which you're already using. So we often use our eyes a lot. And sometimes it really helps to close the eyes to actually like access this feeling on the skin and to really like, okay, fully take that in, breathe in. And breath is a funny thing. It's like really enhancing everything we have. So really like just staying like that in a physical connection, you breathe into it and it's suddenly like there's a universe opening. And from there, you feel like, okay, what does my body really want to do next? Maybe it's a movement. Maybe it's another breath. I mean, we have the saying ABS. So that would be Atem, Stimme, Bewegung. In English, that's like breath, movement, and sound. So allow your voice to become free. And that doesn't need to be like a very loud moaning. But sometimes it's just this sighing of saying like, ah, yeah, whew. That was nice. And add a little movement to it, like the tiny movements that you feel your body is alive and awake.
Yeah, that's beautiful. Like, who do you think is the most in need of these kind of like slow sex? Are there any particular individuals or situations where this approach could be especially beneficial?
I think we all benefit from it. But I have seen especially people who have lost their sexual connection, that they find with slow sex a way to reconnect again. So couples who deeply love each other, but for all kinds of reasons, and usually it's because of stress in the outside world, and that can be small kids, it can be work, it can be like physical conditions which came up, and once the physical condition is gone or the kids are not taking up all the time, when the connection is lost, it's hard for them to reconnect. And slow sex, again, is there a step-by-step path which you can learn, which you can access, that you reconnect. And from there, you might want to choose at other times to have hot sex again. But when you are at zero, to get like to really hot sex, it's almost impossible for most couples.
Yeah. And what is it like to work in the workshop and your coaching sessions? How do you instruct people to practice slow sex and tantra stuff?
Mm-hmm. Well, there's a certain amount of teaching. So it's really knowledge about your body and about like actually even how the anatomy works, because a lot of people don't know what they don't know. And so having the foundation, like how the body works, will really help to understand why certain things work for you and others don't. And in workshops, I always guide people, like if they come to a coaching or a workshop, to really like go step by step and stay within like the stretch zone. So the comfort zone is usually that what they already know, what often enough doesn't work well for them. But from there you go like small steps so that you don't scare yourself. And all these steps are really like well accessible, that you feel like, okay, you do something new and it's a bit like you need some courage and it's a bit like stretching you, but it's something which like lets you know like there's more for me accessible. And I love to see like how people like open their heart. That's the main thing. And often with couples, when I work with couples, it's really just my presence as a third person to encourage them. And then they go by themselves. Mm-hmm. But once I hit like a wall or once something doesn't really go well, I can do these small micro adjustments to tell them, okay, try it a little bit different. And have a small suggestion. And I always think like couples should really, and couples and singles, of course, should seek professional help. Because if you're unhappy where you are in all other areas of life, you would go and seek a professional to support you. Because obviously, like you have tried your best and want to go further and have a better experience, you will get some support, and that will be a lot easier than reading like 100 books and like not getting further. And books can be a great inspiration, but if that doesn't get you moving, it's just dead knowledge.
Yeah. And I'm quite curious, because a lot of times when you're talking about slow sex and tantra sex, you mention about the touch, the feeling, the breath, right? Mm-hmm. How can we communicate through these kind of touch? Are there any tricks that you can share with us?
Mm-hmm. Well, in touch, it's really good to differentiate with like, is it touch for me or is it for the other person? And like...
both ways, yeah.
Yes. But to make sure, like sometimes it's more for me. And then I need to ask for permission from the other person. Like, can I really explore your face, your body, like your skin? Or I'll try to find out with the other person, it's for you. How can I make it the most pleasurable? And that's asking small questions like this. Like, can I like make it more pleasurable when I do this? What path would I have to go? And that can be tempo, that can be pressure, that can be like staying in stillness at one spot, for example, and communicating about it with short sentences which are differentiated. Not it's like, is it good for you, but more like, how exactly can I make it better, and make some suggestions like, okay, shall I go faster, shall I press a little bit more, shall I press less? And if you are insecure, like as a touching active person, it's super important to first find like the stillness in yourself. And that can be as simple as taking 3 deep breaths and making sure that you sit comfortably or lay comfortably. Because whatever tension you have or insecurity you have inside of you will like jump over to the other person. And then any touch, like it's not about the technique, but it's about like, what do you bring to the table? And if you bring insecurity, your touch will transport insecurity. So stay there and don't do more than you really feel safe with inside yourself. And as a receiving person, again, give yourself permission to really be in that moment. And you don't like wait until it's over, but really like, okay, now, what's right now? And don't wait for the next thing to maybe be better than what you expect now, but to allow as well, like, okay, maybe it's just holding hands. It's just hugging hands to start with. Hugging the person and hugging in stillness. Just stay there for like a minute. And that's a great start to connect. And from there, everything will feel like already like trusting and already more opened up in a physical sense, but in a heart sense as well.
Yeah, I think it's such a great way for people to connect, because sometimes when a conversation shifts to sex, it's about rough and like faster sex, but it's really not the case, because we need a foundation of trust and communication in priority to this. And I love this idea when you're talking about, you know, when we have to really dive into it, we need to know what do we actually feel safe about.
Mm-hmm.
So how do we explore, how should we like actually explore ourselves? For example, if we're trying some new practices, and how do we know like, okay, do I actually enjoy this? Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think you already used the word explore, and I love that a lot. I always suggest to people to put it in a frame of exploration. And this is important because when you explore, you allow yourself to try something new, and then decide if you like it or not. And a mm-hmm. lot of people view sex as something which always needs to be good. And that puts a lot of pressure on new things, because when you try something new, you will fail. Like if you cook a new recipe for the first time, it might not be as good as it will be after the 10th time. And if you learn a new language, you have to try. And if you view like sexuality, like it's a skill you can learn. And if you put this frame of this is an exploration, this is an experiment, we do this together, what you will do when you have an experiment, you will try to improve, you will look actively for feedback, and you will go through the categories. Okay, like how did you feel? Like what did I do first? Was it a good start? How did I feel in my body? How did I feel like connected to you? How did I feel like regarding my own skill, my own like performance, but not performance in a sense of like I need to like do it exactly right. But when I did this, that happened. Did I feel good about it? Or did I have a hunch like of like, oh, I would actually go it like this, but I fall into a pattern each time we do this. How can we stop me falling in patterns? And doing new things can be as a couple a thing which really brings you closer together, because it's like traveling to a new place. Like there's so much new you can see. And when you travel, you usually talk about what you experience and you look for a map and you sometimes like will ask like, okay, is this the right path? Shall we change something? And that's absolutely natural in sex as well. And it's kind of this explorative mind, which allows that you like do something which will not be perfect the first time.
Yeah, I love this metaphor of this map metaphor, because a lot of times in life, whenever, you know, suppose we're cooking, we usually look for the recipes, and if we're traveling, we look for the maps, right?
Mm-hmm.
But when it comes to sex, a very like intuitive idea is just like you go straight forward to it, but it's not really the case. And from what I learned like of what you've just said, is I found slow sex, tantra sex, and what you're promoting is quite therapeutic. So mm-hmm. I'm quite curious about, do you think tantra sex or slow sex, they are beneficial to sexual trauma?
Absolutely, they are. And I like to dissect the word trauma a little bit. Like trauma, a lot of people understand only like big events which went really horribly wrong as trauma. But if you differentiate that a little bit more, we all will carry small bad experiences. And if I define trauma as like a process from the past which couldn't be... Let me have a drink. A piece of water okay. Between.
Take your time.
So... If you define trauma as something where a process in the past couldn't be finished, still having a bit of a rough.
It's okay. Yeah. It's no worries. It's recording. I can cut everything. So you're fine.
Great. Then I'll have another Zip.
Yeah, sure.
So if you define trauma as an experience in the past which couldn't be finished, if it was too fast, too intense, too much, you didn't have the resources to finish a process of like digesting this experience you had, then something will be stuck. And it often, if it repeats, it builds a pattern. So we all have lots and lots of small experiences like this. Mm-hmm. And if you in a like now situation, in the present situation, have an experience, it will often touch upon this like, okay, patterns we build. And the idea in tantric sexuality and in a lot of different spiritual directions is to get to a free flow of energy as much as possible, as present as possible. So with like tantric sex or slow sex, you would nourish really this quality of being present more and more. And it's always an aiming. You never get to 100% being present. I think that's like for very few people given. And once you are in this presence, you will touch on these past experiences and they have a chance of opening up, of being completely felt, of being completely digested. And that's a force highly therapeutic because you will like unravel the patterns, the blockages, and all this experience from the past, which now can be like digested. And you get a lot of energy which has been bound in these kind of experiences back. And that's why it's sometimes like super intense while you do almost nothing. And mm-hmm. it can be like really like a wave, an energy which takes you through all this stuff which has like been there. And sometimes it's just pure ecstasy and you suddenly connect to this and then, oh, so this connection was like possibly always there, but I couldn't access it. But now like when I get this, like, okay, I allow everything to happen, it almost like it's done by itself. And I really love that a lot because it's like connecting to the potential we all have, but we usually like lack and like the connection to it. And it can like piece by piece be added again to our potential.
Yeah. And a lot of times when people walk in a relationship or a sexual relationship, they are not aware that certain blockages still, you know, exist. Mm-hmm. And they walk in this with a lot of difficult feelings. And I think slow sex and tantra is a great way for them to realize, hey, you can actually be in the moment, you know, as you said, like seek for resources to digest everything and try to, you know, like say goodbye to the past and let it be done over there. Well, another concept that I found quite intriguing is it's about orgasm, because a lot of times when we're talking about slow sex or tantra sex or where or anything that's related, it's always about being in a moment, take it slow, and you know, feel the feelings and the emotions. But orgasm, it's just so like so special, it's so intense. Do you think it's quite contradictory to the whole concept about slow sex and tantra sex?
Absolutely not. Has a different view on orgasms. That's, I think, something to acknowledge, that slow sex takes up the aiming for orgasms, and that will prevent that you have these very shallow peak orgasms because you're like mm-hmm. a lot longer on the journey. What we often experience in hot sex is that we like straight go for orgasms, and a lot of people have never experienced something else. And in my view, that's really very short, very like shallow orgasms. They're kind of boring. Like, well, mm-hmm. Say it's like a sneeze, you know, nothing. Yeah. It's very genital. It's very like, okay, it's out. But it's not really like what orgasms are meant to be, I think. What we need to do is to really learn to let sexual energy like floats through your body, like circulate, maybe circulate like with your partner, And then you will come at a certain point to a very different quality of orgasm. And sometimes that's a so-called valley orgasm. So it will not be like a peak, but it's more like a valley, which is stretching out over a long time. And it's like waves through your body. And that's already the one important thing. It will be the complete body. It's not like a purely genital experience. And it will be a lot longer. And what I see often, and that has been my personal path too, that it's more like an ecstatic state. So like once your body connects to that, once the energy is able to flow through your complete body, you will be in that state for quite a long time and you hardly do anything. And you can reconnect to that. Like when the body has learned this quality, then you have this ecstatic state and it will be very, very different from your experience. And in slow sex, it might often be like a very like quiet state, like screaming and kicking, but it's actually like an inside where you have the feeling like it's waves and you're opening up and you're really in this state of like, wow, that's like possible. And the cool thing with slow sex, when you don't need to do a lot of it, like you can stay in a long time. And it will be not every time like this. And sometimes it can even be a little bit overwhelming that at a certain point you think like, I want to control back for my body. Like I want to be able to decide to not contract all the time. Or I want to kind of like calm down again because like my day needs to go on. I want to do a bit of work or I want to eat something or I just like want like do different things as well in my life. But one of the misconceptions about slow sex is often that it's against orgasm. And it's not against orgasm, it's against like goal setting, against like really like aiming for it, because then you kind of get into a work mode where you aim and where you work and then you try to take step by step coming closer, and that will take you fully out of the moment. Even if you only plan for the next 30 seconds, that's not the moment. And for a lot of people, this not aiming is one of the really challenging things. And that's when they feel like, okay, I'm betrayed, like my orgasm is taken away from me. And so it's like, it couldn't be further away from that. It's more like, okay, learn how to be in a present moment. And then if you like end up at an orgasm, it's not because you like worked hard for it or you like had to like aim for it. It's more the sexual energy in your body has raised naturally to that level. And it's a lot relaxer, it's a lot intenser, it's a lot more holistic. And I think it actually nourishes a lot deeper than these short sneezes.
Well, how do you think this tantra sex and slow sex would be therapeutic to our life in general? Not only, you know, sexuality, how does it like help us to boost energy to go on with everything in life?
Well, in the spiritual teachings I'm like part of, it's really like sexual energy is the only energy we can create ourselves with doing something. Mm-hmm. Everything else is kind of like life force, which is like like as a gift to us. But with sexual activity, and if we like do it in this skillful way, which is like learnable for everybody, you will actually create new energy and you can use it for everything in your life. It's not just a smile in your face, which is nice, but it's a beaming, it's a radiation, it's a connection. But there's actually been studies of people who have regular sex that they're like a lot more successful in life, in their work, they earn more.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, I guess it's just different approaches and we just need to, you know, keep exploring and see if this is the right thing for us and see if this is something going to be helpful. And as you said, like we need to give it a try sometimes. All right. So Yella, if our audience would like to, you know, look more into your contents in your articles and books, where can I find you?
Yes. Well, the easiest access is via my website, that's lovebase.com. If you look for my name, Yella, with a Y in the beginning, it's a pretty unusual name as well. You will find in the search engine pretty much a lot of interviews from me, also on YouTube with like you, I think will be on YouTube probably, or in the podcast. And there's quite a lot of interviews which are like this one, like giving a little bit of content and a feel and a taste already. And then you find your personal starting point from there.
Yeah, thank you, Yala. I think it's super inspiring, and I personally learned a lot from this whole slow sex and tantric sex stuff. And because I always have this urge of trying something like this because it like encouraged deepened communication. Personally, I'm not a huge fan for quick sex or one night stand because I think in some ways it's using another person as short term gratification. Yeah, I think it's the whole slow sex scenario, it's more like my thing. But anyway, like, thank you for coming.
Yes, thanks for inviting me.
All right, I'm gonna like send you everything after it's edited, and you can feel free to leave the meeting and I'll take care of everything. All right, well, thank you for your time.
Yes, thanks, Sarah, for the questions and the preparation and the interview.
Thanks.
Second. Yes.
Yeah, I hope I didn't ask silly questions because some of them are actually from me. I'm quite curious about this whole thing because I live in Hong Kong. I also don't use English as the native language. So in Asian society, there is this thing about sex being a taboo. It's definitely something you wouldn't talk about on a dinner table. So when I first learned about Western sex culture in the very beginning, it's quite mind-blowing. Like people bring it to like open conversations and workshops, things like that. And being able to witness this variety is also quite inspiring. So yeah, I think it's a great conversation. I'm glad that we did it.
Yeah. Well, thanks for sharing that about the personal experience as well. It's a small percentage in Germany and I think in Europe and in the Western world as well, who's interested and who's open to talk about it. And basically our world is oversexed in a way, like sexuality is very present and it's very like pushed in the media as well. But that's not the personal sexuality. And what you say, like a lot of people use sex as a gratification, but that's not nourishing at all. And the problem with that is that people then get used to this dopamine hit, but it's never enough. So then it becomes kind of a sport and not getting anywhere in your relationship if you view sexuality like that. Like you usually run into trouble because sooner or later that will wear off. And then whether you look for novelty or you stop having sex. And that's exactly the couples which end up then and say, like, we know that we need to do something about this because otherwise we will split up or we will be both very frustrated or like cheat or whatnot. And from there, that's really the absolute interesting first step to acknowledge that you can learn. Because a lot of people think it's nature and I can't do something about it. And think that you're, of course, completely lost. Like, if it doesn't happen by itself, and so learning is really a big thing. And it's not common in Western culture either. So people like me are
I'm sorry, because I like attended several sex industry expo because we sell adult toys. So the people I saw over there, they usually just don't wear clothes. So I just assumed that this is the level that we're talking about here. So yeah, and that's why. But I'm really glad that you said it's something like people need to learn about. It is the proper way of doing it, the proper way of making sure this whole thing actually deepen your connection and nourishing your relationship. So yeah,
it's something I think once you have done that first step, there's a whole world, but not many people do these first steps. So
let me give
better
it a
year.
Try. Let me give it a try and I'll probably write you some feedbacks through email. Let's see.
Yeah, it would be lovely.
All right.
Okay.
Yeah, I wouldn't keep you here for too long, and I know you have your whole day going on, and so yeah. Just feel free to leave and I'll take care of everything, all right?
Okay, great.
Nice meeting you.
Yes.
Yeah,
nice
great.
Day.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Sexopedia. If you're interested in exploring more topics related to us, the adult industry, sex education, and relationship issues, please check out loveneso.com. We have a wealth of information and resources that will satisfy your curiosity. Stay tuned for more captivating stories. Until next time.